From our standpoint, obviously, the most important thing that happened on Yom Kippur, which we're celebrating this weekend, is the baptism of Christ. But there were a lot of other things that happened on Yom Kippur. The rabbis say that this was the day that Moses came down with the second set of tablets. It's the day that Achan hid the Babylonian or the treasures from Jericho under his tent, or in his tent, in the earth is what it says. And it's the day the two sons of Aaron's were destroyed. And if we could understand that, if we could understand what happened on Yom Kippur, then there would be a great fear that would come over you that would ever again, if you understood just, if you only understood the sons of Aaron offering strange fire, if you could understand that emotionally, the fear of God would be so great that you would be immobilized. Because the strange fire that was offered by the sons of Aaron, who were legally allowed to carry the censer because they were the sons of the high priest, but it was strange fire because it wasn't lit. The censers were not lit from the brazen altar where the fire and the coals in the fire were mixed with the blood of the sacrifice. And so, if you can believe what I say, I don't care. It's your business. But if you believe that the altar of incense and the censers that they were carrying represented your thoughts, then you could never again entertain a thought in your mind. You could never again, because it had not been covered in the blood. It hadn't originated in the blood. It had originated in the self. And so you could never again take thought for tomorrow. You could never again, I mean, it would. The fear of God would be so strong upon you that all of these ideas and plans and going up for solutions and all of the lies, you know, like I had a chat with Ronnie and he was convinced that everything was wrong and he was going to go to New Jersey.
Take care.
Well, it doesn't matter whether the thought is positive or negative. You are just as much one of the illegal sons of Aaron, or that was, and there wasn't no debate. They didn't have a chance to present their evidence. They offered the strange fire, and they were toast. There was no trial. There was no anything, because it was so obvious what they were doing that even somebody with the intelligence of a something would see it. And yet we offer strange fire daily and do it with impunity and without fear. And again, the purpose of this time, these days of awe between Yom Kippur, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that it should be putting the fear of God into you, to understand the fear, to see the fear, so that the fear isn't taught by the precept of men, so that you can't possibly continue in the course of action that you've set for yourself for your entire life. It's got to become apparent to you by now that your thoughts are less than nothing, and yet you worship them because they're so great. The You would have to understand what Jesus said when he said, take no thought for what you're going to say. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. It would become meat to you because you would have seen what happened to the sons of Aaron.
Well, what were they up to? I don't remember that, some of the details. It's like they conspired with one another, apparently.
No, they just did it. Go to Leviticus 10. There's no, they weren't up to anything. They were just being them.
This is something they did all the time, I suppose, as far as the fire.
No, they didn't do it all the time because it wouldn't have been a spectacular event.
No, I mean, they always went to the right source for fire for their service, I would assume.
Right.
And then one day they did something different.
Right. And why did that do? Why did that take place?
Why did they,
what was the transaction to make them do that?
Yeah.
It was one and singular, so that you would stop doing it.
I understand that.
No, you don't.
All right.
Then you wouldn't have. I mean, hear me. There is no history. It is no logic.
For what they did.
No, there's nothing written in the Talmud. There's nothing written that gives why they did it. Well, let's read it.
Leviticus what?
Leviticus, I mean, Leviticus 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They were toast. They were crispy somethings in an instant because they offered strange fire. Now, can you maybe understand why we account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation? Because all we do is offer strange fire. If you haven't brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, then every thought you think is strange fire, even the thoughts you think about trying to understand it.
The end of this paragraph where he said, which he commanded them not. Were they aware of before?
Of course, it's in the law. Yeah. Oh, God.
Something in this respect has happened here in the last couple of weeks where this girl Suzanne from New York and this guy Dave that comes around both have verbally expressed a fairly quick understanding of what we talk about. And I've seen in that observation, that's fine, but it doesn't mean anything ultimately.
Not unless you live it.
And you only live it by dying.
That's right.
You can't even perform it in any respect. You can only pick up the cross. And all of these Yom Kippur things we're studying are about the people of the,
These are all the God's people.
Yeah, they're the priests, the Levites, everybody who's said yes to God, and these are the ones that are getting dealt with at Yom Kippur.
What always impresses me about that scene is where it says, and Aaron held his peace. His two sons have just been blown up, and he just...
Well, it's even worse. Let's go watch. Let's watch and see what happens. They were on fire from the Lord and devoured them. Vaporized them, destroyed them instantly, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh on me, that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now, what's commanded here is interesting. They're commanded not to mourn for this. In other words, if they mourn for that death, They're really mourning for themselves. Right. And you've seen this, for those of you that have been here many years, you've seen it 100 times. When I could feel, when somebody was on the hot seat, I could feel that you were in alliance, and I asked you to leave the room. And I'm nothing compared to this.
Yeah.
An alliance is not what we think an alliance is, some greedy contract. An alliance is simply sympathy for, or maybe this is too harsh, or they didn't understand, or, you know, anything. You know, I've had that happen a million times. How could you be so hard on that poor person that was here for the first time? I think we had Miss America was here with, and she, that's why she left. Yeah, well, that wasn't the issue, but shoot.
Well, the next verse talks about the fact you're not supposed to mourn. But I was thinking the to sympathize with this thing is to have walked through in your mind, so it makes you're right there with them.
It's proof that you don't see.
Well, let's look quickly at, and because I'm going to have to quit here, but let's look quickly at Joshua 7.
I'm aching to go to Joshua.
Yeah. Now, you guys, we're not going to read it. I'm going to talk about it. You can go check it out and search the scriptures to see whether these things be true and all the other stuff you want to. They had just had victory over Jericho. And one person saw in the ruins, he saw a beautiful garment, a Babylonian garment, 50 shekels or a big amount of silver and a bar of gold. And he took those, and it says he hid them in the earth in his tabernacle. Now, for that, the Lord sent a plague on all of Israel. Killed, well, that's not true. He didn't send the plague per se. He used the people of Ai. They were a small little weeny city, like, nothing. And so Joshua says, or they said, we don't need our whole army. We just send 3,000 people out there because we don't want to. It's just is going to be so big. And they end up, whatever number they sent, fled before the men of Ai. And they fled because God had melted their hearts so that they would know fear, because a man named Achan had hid these Babylonish the treasures in his earth. Inside of them. And you got to see this. This is what makes me so furious about God stuff. Because what you do is affecting me. God isn't dealing with you as an individual. He's dealing with us as a people. And in our society, and again, our language about this is my coffee or my banana or my Bible or... That's all we do is the sin of Achan. Because we have our stuff.
Every one of those things he hoarded for himself allowed him to be independent and not have to trust, be open, have confidence, and just all he was covered by his gold clothing.
Well, the Babylonian garment is just cause and effect. The gold in the earth, is your image. It's more idolatry. The silver in the earth is your own redemption. I mean, it's all, all of these are types and probably act. I mean, what's so scary about this, about both the sons of Aaron and about Achan after Jericho, is that it's what the human race does as and is hardwired to do. But especially in our language, in the English language. This is what we do. This is what we're taught. We are taught the rebellion of the sons of Aaron, and we are taught it is a good thing, and we are taught the sin of Achan as being a good thing. And so, the idea that you would see through all of this system that's hardwired, the billions of neurons that are hardwired for you to offer the strange fire, and they're hardwired for you to have, I mean, all that the sin of Achan was is a retirement plan. It was a, you know, whatever, the Keo or one of those.
I was seeing that for the first time. I was seeing it like this is the inheritance God gave them with Jericho, but
they couldn't touch it.
Yeah, he to take stuff of the spiritual inheritance for yourself and bury it in the tent. You know, you're really weird.
But what has to be seen? This is why this is why the first thing Jesus, he told the disciples, I'll make you fishers of men. Well, nobody hears that. They just try to be better fishermen and cast a better net and make it more attractive and the bait more. But to be a fish doesn't live. Now, do you understand? Can you each of you admit that you are hardwired to do, and that's all we do, is this the sin of Aaron and his sons? I mean, the sin of Aaron's sons. Can you see now why the mystery of God is completed when you come to the end of it, so that there is no more attempt even to use the mind as the filter? So that you are apprehended by it, and you don't get try to apprehend it.
Well, let me ask a question. I thought strange fire was thoughts. Did they lit it from somewhere they shouldn't have? Were they? Is that?
Yeah, they just lit it with their own matches.
Okay, they lit it with their own matches, and the whole idea of incense is your prayers, your thoughts. Or
thoughts.
Like okay, so I'm right so far.
Well, the point of it is, listen, the point, this is why Jesus said, take no thought. This is why he said...
A lot better than the deal of lighting the fire. I mean, I guess that's what I'm hung up on.
All that you do is light the fire. You walk in the sparks that you have kindled, the light of the sparks that you have kindled. That's all a human race can do. Either light, they walk in the sparks that they have kindled themselves, or they walk in somebody else's light, which is really stupid.
So they, you know, they're supposed to take a little trowel and go to the brazen altar and scoop a couple of coals in there and put some incense on it and do the thing, and they, you know, took a shortcut. That's the, I got it right? That's the sign.
Well, I'm not sure you got it right, but that's approximate.
It's close. Right is not so right.
It was sanctified because the blood from the altar was what...
Yeah, and
it's like having it's like having an altar on the roof of your house rather than going to the temple.
Yeah.
You take this stuff, this religious stuff, and you hide it inside your tabernacle, and one of it is a religious covering, and one of it is glory, and one of it is redemption, and it's just having your own private little synagogue of Satan inside yourself instead of being poured out.
All right. It could be inside yourself, or it could be in a dining room.
That's why I said.
The hell do you mean by that?
Yeah.
You're
talking to me?
Yeah.
Here's the point.
Because we do exactly that. We don't want to put ourselves out in whatever thing that we think we're is being required to put ourselves out in. Sure, it is an easier way to get there. And I can see that in my own mind. I do think a lot about, you know, how can I got two things to do, how can I arrange it so I can get them done in one big swoop, you know, and save some gas or I don't know, whatever. You know, it's, and as a thing itself, that doesn't sound like very much, but I think that we do that in important things, and I just can't think of one.
Well, we do it with everything. There's no place that you don't do it.
The quartermaster says that is important.
Marilyn finally spoke up about it.
I don't think it's always a shortcut.
Listen. It's simple. It's so simple. If there is a need for thought about it, then there is options. So you stop, you wait, you do nothing. There's no negotiation with yourself. There's no transaction with yourself. There's abandonment of self. You're bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what the strange fire is. It's thoughts that are not in captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Thinking about Eve saying, did the Lord really say, he said not to eat, not to touch it?
Well, it's Satan said, thou shalt not, or, yeah, when he said not to touch. I mean, that's the point. If you touch it, she'd had dominion over it because it wouldn't have, but she didn't.
She thought.
She thought.
This, I'll be smarter, I'll be.
But the sons of Aaron probably the same process. Did the Lord really mean what he said?
Let's find out.
But that's what they in Romans when that process is they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. The better translation is they put God to the test for purposes of approving him. Well, this is a perfect example. Well, God, I will, if you get me out of this, I'll believe you. Well, God really doesn't care about you being in there in the first place. In the second place, he's not going to let you make any deals. There's no such thing as foxhole theology. If it's foxhole theology, it is no theology. I'm not going to be able to do any more. But this is all part of the days of awe. Now I got to do one more thing. Let's go to Psalm 91. It's also read on this day. But it's read as an alternative to all these other things that you're hardwired to do. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, dwelleth there is a word that means it's not just a place where you go when you're done working. It means that it's there and you dwell. I mean, it's your soul place of being. And the secret place of the Most High is the closet or it's the oracle of God. It's called all these things, but it's under the wings of the cherubim. Now you got to hear that if you dwell there, then all of this other stuff will go away. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him alone will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the sorrow that flieth by day. you see the imagery here isn't, oh, that's about an image about a bird in his nest or something. Well, I mean, you can be if you want to, but it's the real feathers of the Lord are under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. That can be your only place. There is no need. You would never feel a need to offer strange fire because you're in the secret place of the Most High. You would never feel a need for anything because you're at the source of everything. You would never again judge anybody else. You would just pray that they too would come under the wings. It's a wholly different way of living, of being, that has nothing to do with your old way of life. It isn't an improved way of life. It is a totally, completely different order, different class, different species way of life. And the natural thing about the human race is they try to take pieces of these words and create a new, an improved way of life for them. Well, that's not the way it works. Oh, I see. I understand it. And then you give some example. It's the perfect. It's like, yeah, I understand gravity. Now I can fly. No. That means you didn't understand gravity. And so when I read these Bible commentaries, I mean, I don't read them anymore, but I used to. And I said, this guy's supposed to have got two or three PhDs? How can he say that goofy thing? It has nothing to do with PhDs or LLDs or BBAs or whatever. It has to do with him and your willingness to die. And nothing else. And your willingness never to get off that mercy seat. Never to get out from under the wings of the cherubim. For anything. Does that communicate? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. Thou shalt trample under feet. You've got to see, it's obvious what's happened. It's only Christ that is on the mercy seat, under the wings of the... for you to live as Christ, then you are a partaker of that. But if for you to live is to try to understand Christ, or try to understand yourself, or to try to do anything, then for you isn't to live as Christ. For you is to try to use Christ for something. And so all these... This becomes a no scripture. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, that isn't to you or me, it's to Christ. No, there is no negotiation there. A very simple definition of strange fire is if you use you as the subject of your sentence. Then it's strange fire because it's not about you. And no matter what it is that you've hidden under the earth, in the tabernacle, your tabernacle, is the sin of Achan. It doesn't matter what it is.
Is not this point right here where the mystery of salvation is that we are only able to observe and to see? We don't do, but...
That's why this strange, you know, throughout the Old Testament, this strange word form, or it's observe to do. Observe to do. What must we do to the work of God? Believe on Him and sent. How can we believe? By seeing. How can you see? By hearing. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. There's no negotiation or trying or learning. If your ears are circumcised, then you will hear. If they're not, you won't hear. You will take it as a message of how I can use this for something.
Well, this psalm is always used as kind of a talisman to keep you bad things from happening.
Well, it's goofy.
It's like, if this is about Christ, bad things happen to Christ, but it was not outside of God's, you know, His will and protection, and everything was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing. I mean, we put our own definitions on these things. I mean, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. I mean, that's why I had to be delivered from even wanting to be delivered from pain. I had to repent of it. And I hate that. Or whatever it is. I mean, it's nothing. It's not about you. It's about Him. That you might know the riches of the inheritance in Him. The wisdom and revelation in Him.
All right. I got to go to bed.
And I was going to do all kinds of things today. My little tennis ball isn't working.
Work for a day.
Yeah. Take a big guy. Anybody need to say anything? Good. I don't want to listen.